Oh, you betcha. It's all about fun today, and it's fun to talk about issues. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910. And of course, always at Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Love to hear from you today. You could also stream the show at 991fmtalk.com or download a podcast or two while you're there. Just head on into podcasts. We are so proud to be heard in Yerington and Smith Valley now on 92.3 FM. So welcome to the party. Visit anytime, call, email, text, whatever you would like to do. And I guess I was having a bad day yesterday and decided to, you know, voice my opinions. I love this. Voice my opinions on my drive-in and how people were driving and what was going on. And I, you know, you'd think that an intersection as big as South Virginia and Arrow Creek would get some sort of officer or traffic control or something if they knew the electricity was out. But I'm sure they have other things to do because we do need more officers. But yeah, people just running through the four-way stops and people not stopping at all for when there's no light. I guess you have to have a flashing red light to tell you that there's an issue, but, you know, pay attention. When there's no green, yellow, red, that means there's a problem. So just don't go, continue to go with traffic and barrel through. So I love this. Steve emailed in at Jerry's website, or Jerry's email, and this is great. I love this. Again, you can directly email me because you're going to get the same response, Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Please tell Monica to obey the posted speed limits. I get disgusted every time I go out and see people speeding. It's almost like they can't help themselves. And sure enough, there was Monica today admitting that she likes to speed. You know, it's interesting how people only hear what they want to hear. I like to go with the flow of traffic. And if there's anybody with NHP or law enforcement listening, or even retired, if you'd like to comment on the flow of traffic compared to, you know, the written speed limit. So if you're going 70 and everybody else is going 74, is it better to drag them down or is it better to go with the flow of traffic? Let me know. I'd like to know from a professional. So let's see. Let's get back to Steve's email. Let's see. It's almost like she can't, let's see, did that already. She likes to speed and that she would get a lot of tickets if there was more law enforcement. No, I wouldn't get a lot of tickets. And if I did get a ticket, I would more than happily accept it with a smile on my face and tell the officer or deputy to have a great day. What a joke. She should resign in shame. For talking about reality, I should resign in shame? People should be encouraged to obey the speed limits, and we would have much safer roadways. All caps, obey the law, please. And then this is the best part. How is this bimbo on the radio? I love the fact that Steve, at least he used his name, emailed. I think that's awesome. He used the term bimbo in the wrong context. The way he's using it, he's just calling somebody names, which is, boy, that helps with society, doesn't it? Calling people names. Do we think that Steve might want to check himself? I'm honest about what I do. I go with the flow. And if there is somebody driving slowly, like I said yesterday, in the fast lane, is that person not breaking the law as well by not slower traffic keeping to the right? Just a question. Well, actually, I know she's former law enforcement, so let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Christy this morning. Hi, Christy.
How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing awesome today. How are you doing? I love it when people send me emails calling me names.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? If you were a guy, he wouldn't have called you a bimbo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If I was a guy, he probably wouldn't even have emailed.
No, he wouldn't have, because there's that stigma of female drivers. I'm going to say this to all your listeners. I had the absolute pleasure of riding with Monica to something recently. And I have to say, hands down, you are one of the safest drivers I have ever driven with. Your attention is on the road. And I noticed this stuff just because I've been in a couple of accidents. Your eyes were constantly on the road, scanning, looking for, because it was pretty busy that day that we drove together. Not to say your car is gorgeous, but seriously, you're one of the safest drivers I've ever been around. There's no cell phone anywhere near you, no distractions. You are focused on the road. And whoever this guy is, he must have some kind of bone to pick. But this shouldn't be his battle. He needs to choose something else.
Yeah, this is pretty funny that, you know, this is his big deal. So getting off of that topic, were you happy with the task force meeting that we both went to on Wednesday for the Carson Range?
Oh, I have an update. I'm just not sure that I should publicly announce this yet, but I think I will.
Okay, I love that.
Should we get ready for the transcript or not?
Hey, the show's being recorded. Whatever. I stand by what I say, so.
I stand by what I say. I speak the truth. And the truth is that yesterday I had a visit in my store. This visitor came in for about 2 hours and was apparently trying to convince me to take some type of legal action against the city to fight about the fees. And I kept assuring him that if the range opened back up, I was happy to pay fees because we need something to keep that range in good condition. It needs to generate some type of income, in my opinion, for maintenance. Do I agree with the fees themselves yet? Not necessarily, but I certainly am not going to, because someone thinks I guess, moldable, maybe that's not the right word, but the comments were that I have a lot of people that listen to what I say and that I should go and sue the city over these ridiculous fees. And I said, well, I agree with some kind of fee. But I thought it was hysterical that we kept coming back to that.
Well, I was...
It was a club member.
It's interesting because I got a number of emails off of that, and people disagreeing with me that, you know, no, they don't want to pay fees because they, even though they drive into Carson City, they're buying gas and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I get the whole, you know, property tax thing. But when you charge a fee, like if you go out to the Washoe County Range and they charge a fee, I believe it's $9 for one person, you have comfortable seating areas away from the shooting. So if, you know, you take a guest with you and they don't want to be sitting right there at the firing point with you, they can go sit down and relax. There are vending machines. There are not only for snacks, there are vending machines for drinks to keep yourself cool. There's nicely maintained covered areas. So to charge a fee to literally be out in the desert with a porta potty, I don't think is really responsible, and I think you're going to be driving people out into BLM land and possibly, you know, start a situation that we don't want to be in.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I don't agree with the fees themselves yet. My whole thing was, is I think they're putting the horse before the cart, worrying about the fees before the range is back open. But this was an all-out push, because I'm passionate about the range and things that are going on there. An all-out push by a club member, I don't know upon whose behalf, but to try to convince me for 2 hours as my customers came and left that I should take this to a judge, because a judge would listen to all the people that, and I'm thinking, wait, first off, I don't think for anyone else. If people like what I have to say, that's great. But I am not going to go and try to sue the city because they want to eventually put fees when they reopen the range, because that's my understanding. But I do think that fees, I mean, that was what almost the first 2 hours of that meeting was about fees. I thought that was inappropriate. I think the whole discussion needs to be about when is it opening, and fees can be figured out at a later date. So I wasn't happy with that, but I thought it was very interesting that what someone would come into my store, and it wasn't 2 hours of solid talking. It was, as a customer would come and leave, this person would go sit in another on my couches, and wouldn't say a word while the customers were in there. It was almost like it was some kind of secret discussion, and I was really taken aback by this thing yesterday.
Well, it's because they want you to put yourself out there with the cost and, you know, trying to get a lawsuit together. And it's just, it's ridiculous to do something like that right now, because it would just make you look like a wacko that you're out for yourself.
It's just, to me, another example. Because I said, why are the clubs mad? They have more time than anyone out there, and they're not paying a penny. And their fee schedule was that the clubs would pay half of what a business would pay. So what exactly is their beef? And I could not get an answer. Why?
Yeah.
And I don't know if this
I
don't know if this was the club.
I find it interesting that there was a club member, as I was, or not member, a club representative from the bigger club, going off on Lori Bagwell that they are very supportive of the range and the city, and they donate all this money and all that. And the only thing that I could think of as I was standing there listening to this conversation is, excuse me, you're saying that you donate all of this money to the city to maintain the range and all that. Isn't, or shouldn't that be just because it's the right thing to do? And not for you to get special or preferential treatment because you have a certain day booked every year on out until, you know, 2024 or whatnot? Why does donating to this give you special opportunity? And I just felt like he was very, maybe not threatening, but a very strong tone of, you know, if this doesn't stay the way it is, then we might just have to go someplace else.
Goodbye. You know what I mean? It's like it was a sense of entitlement, and they've always had that. And this person that came in was actually seated next. Well, I'm not even going to go there, but I don't understand what the club's big complaint is, because they get more time than anyone does. All of the clubs. And I do want to say, Carol Howell, though, she made the greatest comment in that meeting, that if you're a volunteer, you're not supposed to be volunteering because you expect something back. There are people that volunteer in Carson City that would never expect a penny. And that has, in my opinion, been a lot of what the club attitude is. Oh, we expect to get this and that because we have volunteered all these hours. Well, if you're truly a volunteer, you don't keep track of what you do. It's like donating money. You don't keep track. If you're truly got the heart of a volunteer and the heart of someone that wants to make something better, you only keep track if you want to keep tabs on it and use it later, in my opinion.
Right. And being a nonprofit president, I know that there are volunteers out there that you have to literally police, not police, but oversee constantly because, you know, they'll say they're volunteering, but they're just basically hanging out. So, you know, if it's just one volunteer going out and doing some time, it doesn't mean that they're actually working or doing anything. Christy, I got to let you go. I got to stop set here, but I've got an interesting email from another club, which we're going to point out and might just be a little eye opener for the Carson Range when it comes to shooting. So, Christy Scott, thank you so much for joining me on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Yes, indeed. KKFT, it's the Monica J Show on 99.1 FM Talk, also being heard in Smith and Mason Valley on 92.3 FM. So as we look at the different ranges around town that if you want to go shooting, yes, there are some nice ones that charge a fee to help, say, sustain and keep it nice, that your property taxes also go to help maintain and, you know, it's just one of those services. But I love this whole discussion of the Carson Range, which had always been free. And then the Women's Club got together and had some fundraisers and they got a porta potty out there. But there are issues with that because it's not always clean. Guys are messy. I'm sorry to stereotype, but guys are messy. And then you get vandals, too, who just don't care and they just want to be, you know what's about it. So I love this. Thank you so much, Brian, for sending me this. This is from Brian Johnson. Regarding the Carson City shooting range, there is an alternative. So keep this in mind, task force. StillwaterFirearms.org. This is a Fallon-based gun club that owns its own range. There are 10 to 12 bays, a pistol bay complete with steel racks and bowling pins, a 200-yard rifle range for $35 a year. And I'm saying here, not $5 per visit. Imagine how many, per person per visit. So this is $5 a year. You have all access to these benefits. Plus, there are monthly matches, both pistol and rifle. Below is a content list. I mean, this is awesome. So StillwaterFirearms.org. Right now, the left is waging a war on gun owners. They want guns registered, and it's not just your long rifles. It's not just things like AR-15s and AK-47s, 308s. They want all guns registered. They want all guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. Why? Because they control the military and they control law enforcement, and those are the only people that they want to have weapons. Even though any sensible person knows that if you take firearms away from law-abiding citizens, criminals will be the only ones that have them. Because you will freely be able to get them. You can get them now on the streets. You can get them on the streets here in Reno. You can get them on the streets of Carson. Every city in Nevada, every town in Nevada, every town in the entire United States. That is the way a criminal system, black market system, works. So there you go, law-abiding citizens. Support the ranges and support the ranges that support you, that allow you to go out, because it's not just paying a fee every time you go to the range. It's buying ammunition. It's buying the things you need to keep your firearms clean and in good working order so you're not having misfires and things like that. It's buying your own targets, your own hearing protection, your own. And so every time you charge someone just to go to a safe place that has a dirty porta potty, and I'm not saying that theirs is dirty, it's just not common sense. you have to give, especially if you want women out there, you know, we're a little bit more sensitive to the than the guys. I consider myself pretty rugged, but I would like a nice bathroom where I can wash my hands. And, you know, if you can't have water and porta potty, there are nicer porta potties, you know. If you're going to have volunteers, have people filling up the basins so you can wash your hands at least. Have a seating area away from the range so you can sit down and maybe even have a lunch that you take yourself. If you don't do it like Stillwaterfirearms.org, if you don't do it nicely like Washoe, people are just going to go out into the desert, which there are a number of safe places that you can go out to on BLM land and shoot safely. But then you're going to get the idiots out there that make all of us look bad because they just start going out into anywhere and popping off shots, not knowing the rules, not knowing the laws, and not doing it safely. If we want to protect our wildlands, let's also protect each other and make sure we have safe places to shoot that we can all shoot at and not go broke in trying to protect ourselves. We'll be back after this Fox News break with Larry Elder. Yes, Larry Elder, my guest today on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And actually, it's getting bigger than that. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Welcome to the Monica J Show, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada, because we are now proudly being heard in Yerington and Smith Valley, Hawthorne and Mason Valley on 92.3 FM. Thank you for being here today and just taking us along for the ride. Hey, got a very special guest right now. He is normally heard on the station from 6 to 8 p.m. weekdays, and that is the most amazing Larry Elder, who I first became friends with on Twitter, and then I just had to start stalking him every place else. And so proud that we're on the same station, and actually Larry filling in for Lars Larson today, like you just heard there, 3 to 6. Larry, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Monica, it is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I love watching your commentary on Fox News, and I knew that when I received this email, I had to get you on the air to talk about this because you are so just well-spoken on the issue, and seeing what happens when people talk about diversity and people talk about, you know, let's all get together and try to live a great life. We had years in this country that were just decimated by racial segregation and the way that the Black community was treated. And even at this point, we are still working through it because there are some bad apples in the bunch. But I would say for the most part, this is not a racist country. How do you feel about that?
Well, if it were a racist country, Obama could not have been elected, let alone reelected. And let's remember, after Obama got elected, his popularity went up to 70%, didn't stay there. But that means a whole bunch of people who didn't vote for him were pulling for him to succeed. So, of course, it's not a racist country. And I was very disappointed when Obama became president and began saying things like racism is in America's DNA. The issue of whether or not white people would support a Black president has been tested by pollsters since the 50s. And in the 50s, the numbers of whites who said they'd vote for a Black person, no matter how well qualified, was in the single digits. And then fast forward, Obama gets elected, and the very same guy talks about how racism is in America's DNA. It's pretty insulting.
It really is. And now I feel like we're going backwards. On the East Coast, we have universities that want to have housing for Black students only. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. Maybe it's just an East Coast thing. And then I get slapped in the face here in our community in Northern Nevada with UNR, our University of Nevada, Reno, hiring a dean of students that encourages and even writes about ethnic matching, meaning that Black teachers can teach Black students better, Asian teachers can teach Asian students better, and white teachers should stick with the white kids. What do you think about that?
Wow. Well, pretty obviously.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, Obama's parents didn't feel the same way. Obama was raised by his white grandparents, attended the finest prep school in Hawaii. I'm not quite sure how many black teachers he had at Punahou, but my suspicion is not very many. He did his first 2 years here in L.A. at Occidental College, a very elite college. I doubt very many of his professors were black. And then, of course, he goes to Columbia, finishes up, and then Harvard for law school. So my suspicion is Obama didn't have very many black teachers, yet black people love Obama. So apparently he was able to survive his failure to have black teachers. His daughters now went to Sidwell Friends, the same she expensive prep school that Chelsea Clinton went to. And somehow the Obamas felt that their kids would get a good education there. Don't know how many black professors there are at Sidwell Friends, but my suspicion is the majority are not black. It is ridiculous. What happened to content of character rather than color of skin? It's outrageous. And why shouldn't only white people vote for white people then? Only Hispanics vote for Hispanics. If that were the case, again, Obama never could have gotten elected. What this professor is suggesting is flat out racist.
So do you think that a university, and I'm not going to say UNR specifically, but do you think a university is pandering to a certain level of, not intellect, but liberals, when they hire someone like this who actually has a book out about ethnic matching in school? Do you think that they're just pandering? And do you think that this could get down into our high schools and our elementary schools?
Well, it's just a small problem. The big problem, of course, is the left-wing nature of our professors in academia. Overwhelmingly, they are left-wing, whether it's a big school, small school, east, west, north, south, public or private. With the exception of Christian schools and a few others, the professors who teach humanities, political science, economics, sociology, you name it, they're overwhelmingly left-wing. And that's what causes somebody like this to get hired, despite his clear racist, anti-education attitude. I mean, what this professor is pushing is really quite dangerous. And you're right, it could very well get down to the high schools.
That's very sad to hear. How would you like to see any change come to our education system to just make all kids feel as though they're welcome?
Well, we need to have true diversity, and we don't have true diversity in academia. The next time some professor talks to you about how much diversity is important, ask him how many conservatives there are in his sociology department. I was just talking this morning about this film that's been greenlighted in Hollywood called The Hunt, in which Trump supporters are literally tracked down by people that hate Donald Trump, and Hollywood actually greenlighted this film. And I'm wondering how many people, Monica, who are conservatives, were in the room when they were discussing greenlighting this film. For somebody to say, wait a second, you're going to turn off almost half the country, and here we are blaming Donald Trump for creating an atmosphere of violence, and we're showing a movie literally where people are tracking down Trump supporters. There was nobody in the room to say that, and the answer is no, because the left doesn't truly believe in diversity. They believe in racial diversity, ethnic diversity, but ideological diversity, forget about it.
And that is going to be a lawsuit in the making, because there will be people killed. I can guarantee you that when that film comes out and people take it as subliminal, content for them to go out and do this. They've already blamed this on Trump supporters in the community, that as soon as Trump says something, Trump supporters go out and beat up people, which is clearly an over-exaggeration and not connected to our president at all.
Right.
Do you think that the country will ever see Trump as the great president that he is and go over and say, you know what, let's come together, especially since when you follow Twitter, C.J. Pearson and all these people who are of color who love the president, Candace Owens, what they're doing out there, and they're just called racist themselves? Will we get over this?
I'm seeing a change already. I just saw a poll, Monica, that showed 22% of blacks support President Trump. That's three times the percentage of the black vote that President Trump got. And since you're being maligned as a white supremacist, as a racist, as a moron, as a Hitler, the bar is so low now. All you have to do is show up and perform, and I think a lot of people are going to be impressed. So I think things are changing. And you can't beat him on the economy. You can't beat him on foreign policy. So you have to beat him on sleaze and racism, which is what the Democrats are really good at. This connection between Donald Trump and these two shootings. When Obama repeatedly criticized the police And three different black men killed officers execution style in New York, in Baton Rouge, and in Dallas, including five officers killed in Dallas. All three black men either posted on social media or told people how angry they were at the cops because of this false assertion that the police were racially profiling black people. That is a lie that Obama and his AG kept pushing. Yet nobody connected Obama to those killings, except for the head of the National Organization of Police Departments. His name is Bill Johnson, and he said all of this is at the feet of Obama. He's been pushing this Black Lives Matter phony narrative, making criticism, false criticisms about the cops. He said the Cambridge police acted stupidly. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon, and on and on and on. Yet the media did not do that, but they did that promptly with Donald Trump. It is so incredibly unfair, and I think even Trump haters are beginning to see this this double standard.
Yeah, especially in the LGBT community when the nightclub shooting happened in Florida. That was not connected to Obama either, even though it was a Muslim shooter and Muslim tensions, Islamic tensions were very high back then. Once again,
right.
Not connected to Obama. They just want to drag this president down. Larry Elder, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about this ethnic matching. And we're not doing ourselves and our university is not doing ourselves any good by having people like this speak for the entire, you know, I mean, the dean of education, that's a pretty big position throughout the university. So I look forward to hearing you from 3 to 6 today, filling in for Lars Larson. And then, of course, Gorka, your good friend Gorka, filling in for you.
Right. Well,
have
you so
a great day.
And I appreciate it.
I know you got to get ready for your show, so thank you for joining us today. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J. Show, live and local FM Talk. And there you go. You know, the university, what do they do to have diversity? They hire someone who is putting plans out there and has the mindset. Maybe that won't happen here at the university. Maybe they won't have black teachers teaching black students. But the dean of education believes that that's the way to go. So what is he telling students and other teachers spreading that? I think if you're a good teacher and you love your students and the students want to learn, they want to learn about everything, then anybody can teach anybody. When we hire people that have these closed minds, that's when you continue the spread of hate. That's when you continue the spread of us not truly diversifying. So there you go. Love to have your opinion on it. If you'd like to call in, 884-9910. Until then, we'll take a quick break on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910. If you'd like to go back and see articles on ethnic matching from the new dean of education here, please, or the dean of students, go on to, if you're a subscriber for RGJ, they've got that in a past article. But I want to send out a big happy birthday, Smokey Bear. Smokey Bear looking good for 75 years old. All right, say it with me. Get your best bear voice on. Only you can prevent forest fires. And that's true. So since we were on the subject earlier this morning about what people are doing in their cars, I have to tell you how aghast I was as I saw someone driving a week ago Monday, actually, so almost 2 weeks, flick a cigarette out of their car window. Had I been in the right direction of following that person, well, considering I'm not into road rage or anything like that, I might have said something, but what an idiot. What an idiot. Here I see this little flaming ember coming at me. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. These temperatures, the thunderstorms we're having, we've had lightning-caused fires, we've had shooter-caused fires, we've had electrical fires, house fires, we just had, you know, two home fires. Wow. If you see something like that, if you see a person in front of you do that, I wish I had been going the other way, grab a license plate. Because if a fire starts, that wind that we have here could have picked up that butt, that ember, and taken it into something dry. It's just amazing to see people continue to do that. Just amazing. What would you like to talk about today? 884-9910. I have a few other people that I've invited to call in if they would like, but still talking about the big rally on Monday. Okay, you can go on their Facebook page and, you know, check out what's going on. There's a Facebook link there for First Day of School Protest Rally. And I found it very interesting that I went and spoke with a wonderful group last night. Debbie started this group, and I've asked her to come in and talk about how she did it in the future, because that's a big question I get. It's like, what do we do? What do we do? I especially heard that around the legislative session. What do we do? You have to be like Debbie and just start something. Start something with your friends, your neighbors. Get to know your neighbors. You don't have to walk up to them and say, you know, are you a Democrat or a Republican? That's kind of aggressive, but, you know, say, hey, are you registered to vote? Well, you might want to think about that. It's going to be a big year. See if a conversation gets started. But Debbie started the Patriotic Americans, Nevada, Sparks, Nevada. Who's going to start Patriotic Nevadans of Reno? Patriotic Americans of Spanish Springs? Patriotic Americans of East Sparks? South Reno? The list goes on and on. Carson City. Douglas County, Dayton, the list goes on and on. Because it starts in your community. It's going to be a grassroots movement of, and I know my sisters and brothers get so angry at me when I say, you know, you don't have to join a club. You don't have to join a group, but, you know, an official group where you pay dues and stuff like that. It's great because those numbers count. I'd be more than happy for you to come out and check out the Mount Rose Republican Women's Club, because that's, you know, where I go. And you meet wonderful people, like-minded people. But it doesn't have to be that formal. You don't have to go to monthly meetings. You can just get together with your friends and neighbors. And you can talk about what is going on in your community specifically. You can talk about what's going on in the city, in the cities around you, in the counties around you. I was a guest speaker last night, and I was able to speak also alongside of my good friend Ken Gray. We don't always agree on everything, but you know what? The thing that we do agree on is making this community better, making it safer, making it a wonderful place to live. Kevin with the Trump campaign was also there. He'll be in on the show at some point. It's just doing it. And I have to thank Debbie for putting that organization together, or group together. You can find them on Facebook. Whatever you need to do to get the word out, trust me, a group like this is not going to get targeted by Facebook. It's not, you know, the people that get targeted by Facebook are the ones with hundreds of thousands of members, because, well, they want to control those voices. They want to control what's said. But just get a group together. And I found it very interesting that a lot of people were very interested in hearing about the rally, the First Day of School protest rally that's going to be held at the Believe sign Monday. We're so close now, the first day of school, to not go. And someone asked me twice, you're encouraging kids and parents to not go to the first day of school? I said, yes, absolutely, proudly. They came back at me, wouldn't it be better for you to encourage people to go to a school board meeting? to go and speak in front of the superintendents and in front of the trustees? No, absolutely not. It's the same old, same old. I'm sorry. The school board doesn't listen. They're not taking quick action. People say, administration has been cut by three positions. No, it hasn't. We are not stupid people. The only reason those positions are gone is because Tracy Davis was finally fired and those positions went away with her because they were her friends. Brought them up here from Vegas. So much more needs to be done. So we'll highlight this in the next segment after we get a look at Fox Business News and the news in general.